Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Metaphysical World and More. This is Nancy Wallace. I host this show. All the times I've been doing these shows, I have always had a guest on. But today, because a lot of people really have no idea who I am, I'm actually going to interview myself. And we'll open the phone lines and take some calls, because that's what I do. I'm a reader. I'm a psychic. I'm an intuitive life coach. Whatever name you choose to use, but it all boils down to I'm a psychic. So anytime you'd like to call in and ask a question, we'll do just a little quick reading. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is explain a little bit about who I am, how you can actually get a hold of me, and my theories on a lot of the subjects that I've already covered with my talk guests. First of all, you can reach me at www.nancyspsychicresources.com. That's N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, resources, R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E-S.com. On the website, there's some information about myself. There's a little bit about the book that's my autobiography that I wrote. So there's some interesting things on there. But what I would really like to do is talk a little bit about what a psychic really is, at least what most people think a psychic is, as compared to what a psychic really is. Most people think that you can call up a psychic, and that psychic is going to give you all the best answers in the world, and everything that psychic tells you is carved in stone. And if that psychic doesn't tell you what you want to hear, usually the comment is she wasn't very good, or he wasn't very good, or they didn't know what they were talking about, only later to find out that what they did tell you probably has come true, or pretty close to it. So my idea is kind of explain that a psychic person, first of all, every single person out there, including animals, have got psychic ability. That is truly our survival mode. That is our gut feeling. That is our intuitive part. And everybody's got it. The problem is that people want a quick fix, or they want a quick answer, or they think they want to make it logical. So anytime that you try to throw logic in there, it's really not going to come out with too good of an answer. Because normally, logic and emotions don't go together. And the intuitive part of you is really all the emotions that you have in there and have had for many, many lifetimes. Inside your brain that we can't tap into, we know everything from the beginning of time to the end of time. And gradually, we're getting to see that come true. I mean, people do remote viewing. And people ask, well, how can you remote view something when you don't even know where you're going? That's, again, everything is in your brain already. And trusting that part of your brain and all of your other senses actually make up the difference whether you're going to let your psychic ability come through or not. A lot of people think that psychics have to go through many, many years of training, or they have to go through many, many years of meditation, or whatever the case may be. Again, that's not true. That psychic ability comes through every single minute of the day if you only listen to it. The problem is, again, when people want to make things logical because they think they have to make it fit, they don't want to listen to that quick instinct of theirs, which 99% of the time is usually probably right. It's that little part of the time that we actually throw it up to our brain, and again, we want to make it logical and things don't work so well. So people go, well, I don't have any psychic ability. Well, again, that's not true either. Psychic ability, it's your God-given right. All you have to do is trust it, use it, believe in it, and kind of go with it. And I know that's a top order because, again, people want to see proof. They want to see things proven to them. They want to have it right there in black and white. And it doesn't always work like that. The other thing is that logic and emotions, again, they never go together. Anytime we're emotional and we try to think logical, we usually screw it up. Or if we're trying to be logical and our emotions are just sucking at the moment, we also screw that up. And then we go, well, I don't know what to do. And in reality, that answer has been there all along. Children are perfect examples. They have the best psychic ability ever. The problem is that with our society, religion, whatever you want to call it, we tend to want to take it away. And people who don't know a lot about psychic ability or understand it or are afraid of it, usually we'll have a child that has it, and it's like, oh, no, we can't do this. You know, we can't be embarrassed. This child can't have that. So they try to squish it. They try to shut it down. And unfortunately for the child, it makes their life a lot harder. because they're going to feel things, they're going to know things, and yet they have to keep it locked inside. I'll give you a perfect example. My psychic ability actually started when I was 6 years old. I had a very freak accident, one that most people wouldn't really believe, but I've lived through all of these things, so I can talk about them. But when I was 6 years old, I was sitting on top of my oldest brother's shoulders, and he was bouncing around like he was a horse. And he lost control of my hands, and I actually went flying into the air, and when I landed with my head and neck under my back. Now, not a pretty sight to look at, I would imagine. I don't really know how long I laid like that, because I don't think my brothers came by me right away, because I'm pretty sure they thought I was dead. I mean, after all, I looked like I didn't have a head or a neck. So how can anybody land like that and still expect it to be alive? The thing is, the whole time I was laying like that, I heard this beautiful, beautiful voice talking to me, like what I call an angel, a very strong, gentle angel, telling me, Nancy, you're okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You're going to know a lot of things. You can't use it yet. We'll let you know when. So the whole time I laid there, that's what I kept hearing. And I thought, okay, well, I don't know what that means, but okay. I mean, I was 6 years old. What do I know? So as I was coming to, basically, I could, you know, kind of feel things, but I kept hearing this repeated to me over and over again, Nancy, you're okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You know a lot of things now. You can't use it yet. We'll let you know when. The strange part is when I finally opened my eyes, I was looking at the ground, but I knew I was laying on my back. Now, most people go, oh, my God, didn't you freak? Well, no, not really, only because this voice kept talking to me. Now, this voice has been with me through my entire life. It's saved me many times. It's given me all kinds of information. But as a child, you don't tell a story like this because, first of all, most people wouldn't believe you. But the other thing that happened to me after that accident is that I would look at people and I would know they were going to die. Now, again, at 6 years old, it's like, well, am I causing this? Am I thinking about this? Or is that the reason why it's going on? But this angel voice would come through, and they would tell me, this has already been determined. They're going to a better place. It's not for you to worry about. Do not interfere with this. They coax me. They help me. They let me understand that there's a natural process to everybody's life. And it's a natural process that we really don't understand right now because we don't think we're in control of it. In reality, we are. But I grew up with these angel voices talking to me, telling me different things, but also warning me that I couldn't tell anybody what I know. And they really wouldn't explain to me why I couldn't. But again, being a kid, what do you know? You know, there's this nice voice talking to you, and you assume everybody has this nice voice talking to them, so it becomes pretty natural. It's, you know, it seems very, very real. So that's kind of how I grew up. So I wasn't really raised like most people were. I mean, my parents did. I mean, they loved me, and they housed me, and they clothed me, and they fed me. But they didn't teach me the wisdom and the knowledge that I have. And it's the wisdom and knowledge that all of us have. It's just that mine came out loud and clear, but only after a strange accident. And I kept going on as I was growing up, hearing this angel voice talk to me, telling me I couldn't interfere with some of the things that I knew, and myself not knowing exactly why I couldn't, but again, I believed it. So I kept doing my thing, and I kept assuming that everybody else was hearing their own little voices. And you don't really realize that not everybody's hearing those little voices until you get a little older. And then you say something like, you know, I kind of knew that was going to happen. And everybody looks at you and goes, well, how did you know that? It's like, well, I have this little voice that tells me. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, all right, sure, what you been on? You know, what kind of drug you taking or what you been smoking? And so it's not necessarily allowed for people to say it out loud, not while I was growing up. Now it's actually better than when I was a child. But they also showed me another thing. When I was in high school, my brother was driving us to school. And this is actually the first time that I was allowed to say anything out loud to anybody about what I knew in advance. And it's a good thing, because what happened on that day kind of showed me different things. My brother was driving us to school, and back when I was in high school, we lived where there's only a two-lane highway, and there really wasn't a speed limit. So, you know, being teenagers, my brother would drive rather fast. And as we went to go up this one hill, all of a sudden I got this vision, just like watching a movie, that on the other side of this hill, there was going to be a white car that pulled out from the right. And there was a school bus coming in the other lane head on. And we had a choice. We could either hit that car broadside, going about 60 miles an hour, swerve into the other lane and hit the school bus head on, or I could finally get to say to stop, slow down, which is something I was not really allowed to do until that time. So as we started up this hill and I get this vision of us going to have this horrible, horrible accident on the other side, I started yelling to my brother to slow down. And my brother, who never heard me do this before, was saying, "What's wrong with you, sis?" I said, "Just listen, it's not my turn to die today. It's not your turn to die. So you really need to slow down." Of course, he's a brother and I was a younger sister, so what do I know? But no matter what, I would not stop yelling. And I started yelling louder and stronger to slow down this car. I don't want to die. And finally, we get up toward the top of the hill, and my brother still isn't quite believing what I'm saying, but I wouldn't shut up, you know, because I was seeing this played over and over again. So I kept yelling and screaming that we were going to die shortly if he didn't slow down. Finally, my brother got sick of me yelling, apparently, so he started putting on the brakes. And we slowed down to about 45 miles an hour, and sure enough, we got close to this side street that's down at the bottom of this hill, and out comes this white car. I thought I was going to die, but angels didn't want that to happen. So my brother kept slowing down, and he slammed on his brakes at the very last minute. Instead of hitting the car broadside or hitting the school bus head-on, we actually sideswiped the car going about 40, 45, and ended up into somebody's yard, almost their house. Everybody in the front, which was my brother, his girlfriend, and her brother, they were like just little kind of minor hurts. I was in the back seat with all the books thrown all around, and the only thing that stopped me from going to the front seat, from the front to the front windshield, from the back seat, was that one of my legs went through the seat and the other one went under it. The rest of my body went over the seat. Now, I didn't know that I was hurt because I was the only one that got out of the car. I was the only one who made all the phone calls, called the police, called the fire department, called the school, called my parents, did all the calls. Total in control. And, of course, we were all taken to the hospital, and we were released because none of us were really seriously hurt. And the person that we'd sideswiped, he only had like a little cut on his head. So everybody actually lived that day. But it was very, very strange and very, very weird because it was at that time that I finally got to open up and say something. And the thing I had to kind of cope with was, why now? Was it because I wasn't supposed to die? Was no one supposed to die? You know, there was a lot of questions. And as I was growing up, I had questions, but I never bothered to ask them. Well, once we came back from the hospital and everybody was walking and everything seemed fine, to get into our back door, we had to walk up about 5 or 6 stairs. And my mom, who didn't have a car, was waiting at home for us because she couldn't come. Met me at the top of the stairs. And the only thing my mom said to me is, "I'm glad you didn't ruin your pretty white teeth." Well, wherever I was in this zone, that brought me right out of it. And I actually collapsed on the floor. The neighbor person who brought us home had to carry me up the stairs, where I had to stay in bed for about 30 days. I had pulled every muscle, tendon, whatever could be pulled from the base of my skull all the way down to my heels, which meant I really couldn't walk. So that time that I was laying there for about that month, I started asking the questions. Why do I have this? Why do I know about this? Why do I have to know this and yet not really been able to say anything until now? Why couldn't I tell people what I knew? And the answers start coming. I kept asking. The answers kept coming. The biggest answer that came from that, from my voice, my angel voice, was, if we would have allowed you to tell people from the age of 6 what you knew, they probably would have locked you away, pumped you full of drugs, and said that you were some kind of a schizo. And we need you for more than that. So I thought, oh, yeah, right. Why me? You know, why do somebody like me? There's hundreds of people out there. And the answer was, we want somebody who's pure of heart. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. Well, what does that mean? And I know all of you people that are listening probably have had some of these same experiences that I'm talking about. Not that you could talk about them, nor do you think that people would hear you or want to hear you. So most people don't say it. But I had to. I had to ask questions. I had to know why I'm given this stuff and yet not be able to say it out loud. So they answered it, and they answered it over and over again with the same answer. They never even switched the words around, never tried to change it. So it was the same answer. And so I kept asking the questions, then why do I have to know this? And they said, because you're here for a purpose, and you have to serve your purpose. You're here to help people. You're here to let people understand that it doesn't have to be so bad. And I thought, yeah, little old me, how am I going to do that? And I said, but, you know, this is a real big order for somebody like me. I'm just a teenager, and who listens to teenagers? And the angel kind of laughed with me and said, they'll hear you. May not be right now, but they'll hear you. So little things like that happened to me through my whole entire life, all the way through till now, actually. And today's my birthday. Then I just turned 59. So from 6 years old to 59. So 53 years worth of knowledge kept coming through over and over and over again. And it wasn't easy knowledge, because some of the knowledge that I had, again, is I knew when people were going to die. So I actually predicted my dad's death. I predicted my oldest brother's death, my youngest brother's death. Those things are not easy. But at the same time, I also understood that I could not interfere with them because it's already been chosen. So when a lot of people go, oh, well, I have all this ability, so, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, it's like, yeah, well, okay, you can do that. You can use your ability on other people's willpower, and maybe it will help them. But you really need to use the knowledge that you have inside, with the knowledge that you know, not so that you act like you know it all or that everything that you say has to be true, but at least the knowledge that you have inside. Today, there are probably more people out there who will admit that they have psychic ability than ever before. And that's because we've done a slow, steady growth of allowing our intuitive part of us to start to gain control, start to take back that part of us that we've given up so easily. Like, again, as a child, when our parents tell you you can't do that or you shouldn't say that or you don't know that, it's just a game. There's nobody there. You're just, you know, playing a game with yourself. And you know that there's energy there. So life kind of goes on like that. And the people who are afraid to say, oh, yeah, I have some of those things, they have to be pretty miserable inside or very afraid. The more people that admit that they have these psychic abilities, or they have these things that happen to them, or they kind of know what's going on, those are the kind of people that are out there now, and there's a lot of them. And they're all over the world. They're not just in the United States. It's not just me. They're all over the world. But like every other thing, there's always the good and the bad. That's the yin and the yang. You have to have both in order to appreciate one over the other. So yes, there are a lot of very, very bad psychics out there. There are a lot of psychics out there who just want your money. They will tell you anything that they think you want to hear. Or they will prey upon your emotional needs or your emotional fears. And they take a lot of money from people like that. And they tell them that they're going to fix them. I'll burn some candles for you. You just have to give me X amount of money. And then when you give them the X amount of money, you go back to them next time thinking it's still the same way. They go, oh, well, you didn't give me the right amount and the dollar amount, so you have to give me more. So for any of you people who are out there who have done that, you can relate to this very, very well. For you who are out there who are thinking about doing something like that, do yourself a favor and don't. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your time. One of the worst things that people can do with psychic ability is use your psychic ability to go against somebody else's willpower. And a lot of people try to do that. And maybe they don't think that they're trying to go against it. Maybe they just think that they know better. But to be perfectly honest, everybody, again, has their own psychic ability. Everybody already has that answer inside of them. So if you're going to go to a psychic who is going to be honest with you, not just want your money, and help you to understand what you are feeling inside. Because if you're in front of a psychic and that psychic is good, that psychic is picking up your energy. That psychic is telling you things that you already know. It needs to be confirmed, but you already know. It's that knowing that we all have. It's that knowing that if we just used it and followed it, the world could be such a better place. When we come into this world, we come in with total love. It doesn't matter if you're yellow, pink, green, white, black, Chinese, you know, it doesn't matter. We come here with pure love. Unfortunately, that turns to a lot of different degrees of a lot of things that hurt people. I know everybody talks about the war going on and how, you know, it's not going to be won. And it's true, it probably won't be. It's a war with religion. It's been there for a long time. People don't win when they fight like that. When it comes to your psychic ability, don't be afraid to let people know that you have these feelings. Don't be afraid to let people know that you already have some of the answers. Don't let people tell you that you're crazy or you're weird or you're strange. Don't do that to yourself. It's given to you for reasons, and they're good reasons. It's to help you get through the world that we see it today and hopefully learn something so when you have to come back again and again and again, you don't keep repeating the same old stuff that you have to work for. The other thing is that there's a lot of people out there today that talk about the secret. They talk about the laws of attraction. They talk about how you can get whatever you want. A lot of people charge you a lot of money for that, and that's okay. You know, if that's what they do, that's what they do. So it's okay. But if you're going to go to stuff like that, then you need to listen to what they're telling you. You need to practice what they're telling you. Everybody can actually have what they want. You just have to know what it is, and you have to trust it, that it's already yours. Like when I do my readings, I use a lot of positive affirmations for people. And after interviewing a lot of the people that I've interviewed, some of them from the laws of attraction, some of them are just people who have been out there for a long time and have a lot of other ways of getting things. But a lot of it has to do with, again, the secret. After interviewing those people, I have to say I agree with a lot of the things that they say. I don't agree with everything they say. And I'm sure that other people out there who listen to them will be the same. They will agree with some of it, but probably not all of it. It's very, very hard for people to understand that they are here to be truly happy. It's very hard for people to understand that, yeah, they can have anything that they want if they already believe they have it and keep believing. One of the people that I interviewed said that if you're trying something and it takes longer than 90 days, then it's not blending with what you believe, so you ought to try something else. And I really don't think it should take 90 days. I would think if something's not blending with you with the first 30 days, then you need to either change some of the words that you're saying, how you're saying it, or change the whole thing altogether. As a psychic, an intuitive life coach, I don't really care what name you give it, that everybody has this ability, but in my own business, it is very important that people understand that they are not going through all of this alone. Take a look at the world today. How happy are you at what's going on in the world today? How much fear do you live in today? Where does the fear come from? Did it come because you were told we're going to be another thing happen like 9/11 and they keep us living in fear? Is that where it comes from? Or someplace inside of you, do you just know that there's still something that's going to be going on? Can't quite put your finger on it, but you just know. See, society, religion, all of those things try actually to control us. And they do a great job of it with the media. They make sure that the media says the right keywords to keep people living in fear, to keep people thinking that they can't have what they want. And again, in reality, you're allowing them to do that. So you can change that. You can have what you want. In the laws of attraction, it says all you have to do is believe and keep using it. Let people know, yourself especially, what you want. Write it down. Make a mural for yourself so you see it all the time. Practice every day. But what they don't tell you is that making that mural that you can look at every day, because we're very visual, practicing every day, you can say the words And you can do it every day, but you really have to believe it. You have to say it like you mean it. The emotions is the strongest energy that we have. And if you're not saying it like you believe it, chances are you're not going to get it. If you put it out there and you still have those doubts in your head by saying, well, you know, I'm trying this, but I really don't think it's going to work, you've already done a preconceived idea that it's not possible for it to work. If you want the things that you really want, you have to believe that you already have them. When you pray for things that you want, don't pray asking. Pray thanks, like it's already here. It's a little different variation from what we've been taught. A lot of the metaphysical people already know this. That's why there's so much of it out there on the internet. That's why there's so many different people talking about the laws of attraction or the secret. Everybody has the ability to bring to them what they want. The problem is to decide what it is that you really want. Not what you think you want, not what you think you can't have, but what you really want. What is really, really going to make you the happiest? Is it $1 million? That's what a lot of people tell me when I ask them during the readings. What's it going to take to make you happy? Money. Does money make you happy? Not necessarily. Can it help to bring some things that you really want? Oh, sure it can. And that's what it's for. But you can't live for money. Because at some point in time, money isn't going to count anymore. So you have to live from your heart. You have to live from what I call your intuitive heart smart part. Allow yourself to feel that. Allow yourself to know what you really want. What you know that you are supposed to have. A lot of people come for readings and they want me to tell them that the relationship that they are in is going to work out really well. That it's going to make this person very happy and it's going to give this person everything that they want and this person is going to be with them forever. And sometimes it does come up like that. But a lot of the times it doesn't come up like that. And then they don't want to hear that. It's like, no, I'm going to get him or I'm going to get her and we're going to be together forever. You'll see. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, that's pretty good determination. But again, you're going against somebody else's willpower because maybe that person doesn't really want to be with you forever. So then when you don't get that, you go to another psychic that guarantees to bring back your loved ones and they charge you buco bucks for that. And it may work. But what happens is when you're doing that, again, going against somebody's willpower, you may get what you want and then be real sorry that you got it. Because you could be getting the physical part of that person, but I highly doubt that you would ever get the emotional part of that person. So you have to be real careful when you're asking for things. And you have to be real careful when you're trying to get something that you think you want, although it's really, really hard to get. There's a saying about something that's being too hard to get, maybe it isn't really worth it. People also don't want to hear that. We constantly beat our heads against the wall going, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. Why can't we just do, I give, I give, I give, I give? And then you don't have to beat your head on the wall. You won't have those bruised heads and bumps. And your energy will skyrocket. We use so much energy in trying to bring to us things that we think are going to make us happy. How many of you out there who are listening can look into a mirror and say to yourself with a true smile on your face, I love me. Those three little words, I love me. How many of you can say it with a smile on your face and really mean it? Because, see, the day that you can do that, you're three-quarters of the way with getting everything you want. You don't need other people to necessarily be next to you, telling you that you can do this or you can't. Because people do that. They also tell you that you can't have something. You know, don't set your goals too high, because when you don't get there, it's a pretty big fall down. When what they should be saying is, set your goals as high as you want and try to attain it as quickly as you can with a big smile on your face, knowing that it's yours already. Changing things around, especially words. Changing them around the way we feel. Trusting what we're feeling. Not doing the logic. People have a hard time with that. I think it's real important that people understand that you could get everything that you wanted, but we tend to change our mind. Like, first we want this, but oh no, that over there is better, so now we want that. And that's okay to be like that. But you have to make sure that you really believe that you want it and that you're going to have it. And that you already have it. The laws of attraction and the secret, they tell you whatever you put out there, you're going to get back. I've been teaching that for years, years and years and years, long before the books have come out. But it's good that they came out, because they make people more aware. And the more aware people can be that you really can have everything you want as long as you expect it, is the way to get people to understand that it's not so bad to be here. A lot of people are very unhappy. A lot of people are losing their jobs. A lot of people are worried about their money, because if you don't have a job, of course you don't have the money. So that fear sets in. And again, once that fear sets in, it's such a negative energy and it's so overpowering that people have the hardest time trying to get out of that fear. And then, of course, you hear society tell you that you can't have what you want anyway. And so you're doing like a double whammy on yourself. If people could start worrying positive instead of negative, they would then get whatever they're worried about. But we're not taught how to worry positive. We're only taught negative. Even the dictionary tells you that. So people do not understand that you can worry positive. Worrying positive means you take the negative words, negative thoughts out of it, you put in the positive words, positive thoughts instead. For example, instead of going, oh my God, I don't have any money. Oh my God, what am I going to do? You put out there, what am I going to do with all the excess money that I now have? Doesn't that even sound better? Doesn't that feel better? That should be telling you a lot. Because you see, when we live in that, oh my God, fear, that oh my God fear that we're living in, we keep repeating it. And it repeats, and it repeats, and all of a sudden we're totally, totally, 100% locked in fear, thinking that you're never going to get out of it. So again, if you're going through any kind of fear, there are different ways of saying things. People out there who are looking for a relationship, one of the ways is to put it out there in a positive way, instead of, I'm probably not ever going to be married, I'm probably not ever going to have anybody. A better way to say it is how great it is. I am in this wonderful, happy, caring, loving relationship with the right person. Don't give it a face. Don't give it a name. Just make the statement. Because the person that you think you might want may not really be the right person, but oh, you want that. Oh, you gotta have that. And then after you get it, it doesn't turn out so well. So the statement again is how great it is. I am in this wonderful, happy, caring, loving relationship with the right person. And then add now. The reason you add now is because the universe knows no time frame. So you're giving it one. And again, that's your right. It's your right to give it a time frame. There are so many different other ways of actually getting what you want rather than what you don't want. One of the people that I interviewed talked about the three words to take out of your talk, your dictionary, or whatever you want to do, and it's no, can't, and don't. So every day when you get up, start counting how many times you go no, can't, or don't. You'd be surprised how that no, don't, and can't is in a lot of sentences. So you need to change that to yes, I can, and I do. That also sounds pretty good, too. It takes practice, though, because understand, we've been going through this for a long time, and however long it took you to get to the place that you're in now is not going to be taken away in 24 hours. It does take a little effort on your part, not just the words. The other thing he said is that when you say no, don't, and can't, you're now focusing on the things that you really don't want or can't have or don't think you're supposed to have. And so, again, your focus point is a negative. And his idea is that it should be all positive. Because if it's positive, the universe has no choice but to give it back to you, just the way you're giving it out. A lot of people believe that things can't happen for them or, oh, things are just too good to be true. So for that, when that comes up and I'm doing the readings, I tell people, which is the world, the cards in my deck is the world. It means you can have anything and everything you want as long as you know you can have it. And you don't talk yourself out of it or you don't let anybody else talk you out of it or take it away. So my answer to that is every time you think that this isn't going to happen or this is too good to be true or whatever negative part you want to put in, you stop yourself in mid-sentence and you say, this may be too good to be true because at least you're recognizing it. And then you add, however, I have worked for this, I deserve it, it's mine, I want it, and I want it now. Again, that sounds much, much better than, oh, it's not going to happen. This is just not going to happen for me. I'm not going to get this job. I'm not ever going to get out of, you know, debt. It just makes more sense that whatever energy you're putting out there, the universe has no choice but to give that energy back. They cannot change it for you. That's a big fallacy that we're under, that you're going to put it out there and they're going to whip it around, you know, beat it up and down, do whatever they got to do, and they're going to give it back to you and it's all going to be okay. But that's not going to be happening for you if you don't put it out there that you already got the good stuff. So we need to change our thinking a little bit. One of the reasons why I think I was given all the knowledge that I was is to try to help people understand that they truly can have whatever they really want as long as you're not infringing on somebody else's willpower and it's coming from your heart. All of those people out there that are millionaires, ask yourself how you think they got there. Were they just lucky? Did they inherit it? Did they beat people up to get it? I mean, you can come up with all different kinds of scenarios. But how many times you come up with a good scenario like they knew what they wanted, so they got it. But we don't do that. We kind of go toward the negative. James Carey, the actor, he was interviewed on one of the talk shows. And they asked him how he got to be who he was. And he said that for a long time he struggled and he struggled and he struggled. And then he decided to try something. What he did is he sat down and he wrote himself a check for $1 million. And he dated it and he signed it. And every day he looked at that check knowing that he was going to get that. And then he would put it away in his wallet and carry it with him. And what's really funny when he tells the story is that the date that that check was written for is the day that he signed a $1 million contract with some acting, you know, Universal Theaters or somebody. Now, Picture that. Think about that. He's just an ordinary, everyday man like everybody else. Was that luck on his part? Or was it because he was determined that he was going to have it? And that he believed, without a shadow of a doubt, that it was his turn and he was definitely going to get it. Now, he did it. Why can't you out there do it? You can. The only thing that probably stops you from doing it is the can't, don't, or it's impossible. Again, those are all the negative words to give to you exactly what you're putting out. The belief in the positive and in ourselves coming from our heart, our heart's smart love spot, cannot be denied. We ourselves are the ones who deny it. We ourselves are the ones that make it so we can't get it. Again, some of the people that I've interviewed, they talk about all the positive thinking and sometimes how it doesn't really work so well. And sometimes that's true. But if you're really doing positive thinking and it really is something that you believe in, there is not a reason why you can't have it. So I guess in order to do your positive stuff, you really do need to believe that you deserve it and that it's yours. And not throw out that negative thinking about, well, I wonder if I'm going to get it. Probably not. So for every positive thing that you put out there, if you back it up with a negative thing, you've just negated the whole scenario here. If you're going to put it out there positive, you leave it out there positive. If you're going to let yourself live the life that you want to live without hurting anybody else, without using or abusing anybody, then you need to put that out there. You need to see it, feel it, taste it. Know that it's yours. Claim it. Date it. Do whatever you have to know that it is there. Just like Jim Carrey did. James Carrey, whatever word you want to call him. A lot of the stars, believe it or not, have done the same thing that he did. A lot of the stars that are these big, big stars that are into Scientology, which is what it teaches you, that you can have it. I don't know a lot about Scientology, but that is the crux of it, that you can have it. You just have to believe it. A lot of those stars, they have it. John Travolta, he's a pretty big dude out there. And he believes it. Even though you're not a star, a movie star, you're a star, but maybe not a movie star, you need to believe that it's yours. You need to believe that you can have it. You need to know that it's there for the taking. You need to know that it's okay to get what you want as long as it's not hurting anyone else. It is okay to be a millionaire. It is okay to have your total psychic ability reach out and touch everybody. All of those things are okay. They wrote a book a long time ago called I'm Okay, You're Okay. If you haven't read that book and you can find it, you might want to read it. It really is a good way to try to get that going. There's also many, many people out there that have a really tough time letting go of past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt. And whatever we tuck inside of us, whatever we hold on to, all we're doing is going to keep pulling that same energy to us over and over again. So in the next few minutes, I'm going to explain to whoever is listening that there is a way to really let go of the past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt so that you don't have to keep pulling the same scenarios to you over and over again. And I will tell you that I'm going to tell you how to do this, and it takes a few minutes. You probably will not be able to keep up with the writing, but you can go on my website, and my website has it at the bottom. It's called Let Go Letter. All you do is click on it, and it's going to repeat. And you can print it out, exactly what I'm about to tell you. And again, this is for people, meaning adults and children, who are holding on to past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt. and this is one of the best ways to let go of it. First, you have to be all alone with no interruptions of any kind. No doorbells, no phone calls, no people, no animals, no kids, no potty breaks, no interruptions. And then you need to think back to how old you were when you first start feeling hurt, pain, anger, or guilt. And yeah, you're right. We all have it. And we all have it at different ages, and we all have it at different degrees. So you all have it. So you have to go back to the very first time that you can remember that something hurt you, made you mad, or made you feel guilty. Once you come up with that age, you're then going to hand write yourself a letter. The letter is to you, about you, and your true emotions from your heart, not your head. You see, because our head lies. It's called our logic brain. Doesn't mean to lie, but it doesn't understand emotions. So whatever logic does not understand either tries to stuff it back inside of you or tries to make you think that it never existed. In any case, that doesn't work. The letter starts by you saying, when I was X amount of years old, and you're going to pick the age, this is what happened to me. This is who or what did it. This is how I felt then. This is how I feel now. Because you see, it's two different things. As a younger person, you know you hurt. But as an adult, you know how much you hurt. So from that same age you're starting at, you are going to continue to handwrite about anything and everything that's happened to affect you inside with your emotions all the way through to the day you're writing the letter. This is without stopping for any reason. Nobody, and I mean nobody, sees this letter but you. So it's kind of like for the first time in your life, you really are finally going to be totally honest. Brutally honest, maybe, but totally honest with your emotions, which most people have a hard time with. So the idea is to make sure that you talk about all of it, including how you feel about yourself if it's bad. Now, nobody, and I mean nobody, sees this letter. So it really is okay to be totally, totally honest. And since you're going to do that, you have to make sure you have a box of Kleenex, because chances are you're going to cry. And if you do, it's okay. Cry all you want. I encourage the tears, but do not stop writing. Also, without a doubt, you need some rolled up socks to throw. You are going to get mad. And again, it's okay. Be mad, throw the socks, but don't stop writing. The reason you don't stop writing is because this is an emotional building letter, which means the more you can get out, the better it's going to work. Once you're all done writing from start to finish without stopping, without leaving anything out, you do not read it right then, because you're going to be too tired and probably too emotional. So what you do is put this letter away, again where it's safe, and no one's going to see it. Because if you think somebody's going to see it, you either won't do it or you won't tell the truth. It's basic human nature. You need to put this letter away for at least 4 hours, but no more than 8 hours. So any time during that 4 hours to 8 hours, you're going to pick the letter back up, reread it, word for word the way your heart wrote it, and then you're going to burn it. And you're going to burn all of it. You don't save any of it. You don't leave any of it unburnt. The reason for the burning is because it's a release, a clearing, and a healing for your heart and emotions. Just like the Bible says, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So it's a healing, especially. The reason you need to reread the letter before you burn it is so that your logic brain finally understands why your heart has been in such pain. Because unless logic sees it, it doesn't get it. So don't put this on a computer. Don't try to type it. You can only bang so hard on those things, not going to change the print. Your handwriting changes with emotions. That's what logic brain needs to see. Once logic brain sees that, it finally allows your head and your heart to finally work together to break the patterns and the circles that you've been in that you really don't like. Letter does do good things. Helps you to finally figure out who you really are. Helps you to like yourself. Love yourself like you're supposed to. But the best thing this letter does, it finally allows you to be happy from the inside out. Which in itself is pretty amazing. After you have read this letter and you have burned it, you will make some changes. You're not going to be mean. You're not going to be nasty. You're not going to turn into a yuck. But you are going to get strong, stronger than you've ever been before. A lot of people that have been used to taking advantage of you or who think they can will not like the new you. So they're going to try to hurt your feelings. They're going to try to make you mad. They're going to try to bring you back down to the person they want you to be. Don't get hurt. Don't get mad. Just put a true smile on your face. Look at that person and say, thank you. And then just walk away. The reason why you're thanking them when they're trying to rip you apart is because they have truly given you the best compliment of your life. They are telling you they don't like the new you because they can't hurt you, use you, or abuse you anymore. And it's worth a thank you. A child can do this. They do it exactly the same way. There's just a little bit of difference. When you're explaining this to somebody, you say, I heard about this and I tried it. This is what I got out of it. And you actually talk about what you got out of it first. Then you say it's a letter that you're going to hand write to yourself that no one else is going to see. This is how you do it. And you're going to explain to them exactly the way I just told you. But with a child, you're going to give that child two envelopes. And you're going to tell that child the first envelope is for when you're done writing your letter so that you yourself know that no one's going to see it. You're going to put it in an envelope, going to seal it up, and you're going to put it where you know it's safe. Now, a child only has to have their paper put aside for 2 hours to 4 hours because their attention span is different. So any time during that 2 hours to 4 hours, the child picks their letter back up, opens it carefully, rereads it word for word the way they wrote it. They put it into the second envelope, and this time they can seal it up any way they want. They're going to bring it to the adult, the mom, the dad, and together is when you guys are going to burn it. That way the child doesn't handle matches, but the burning together, not only then is it a healing and release for the child, it is a better bonding between you and your child. And yes, this letter is very, very hard to do, but it truly is worth doing. The world today is in a very sad shape. There are many people out there trying to change it. You can be one of them. You can send out that positive energy. You can make things happen for you. You can make sure that you take the negative thoughts, words, whatever you want to say, and turn it to positive words, positive thoughts each and every day. Wouldn't it be great if the first thing you get up in the morning, instead of hearing all the gunk and crap that happened overnight with the killings and teenagers, drunk driving, all of the negative stuff, when you first opened your eyes and put your feet on the floor, you said out loud and proud, this is going to be a great day. You'd be surprised how good your day can turn out. You have to practice it. It doesn't come overnight, and it's not easy to break old patterns. It takes 21 to 28 days to form a pattern, and it takes 21 to 28 days to break a pattern. But to because patterns are so hard to break, I give it more time. So keep that in mind. Anytime you're trying to break a pattern or a habit, you have to give it some time. You have to keep believing, and you have to stay strong with it. If you'd like to get a hold of me for a reading, you can give me a call at 630-941-6816. I hope all the things I said to you today make sense. If you listen and you practice it, you will then be able to get what you want. And there are no borders, no borderlines, none of that stuff. It really is up to you. You can stay in the situation that you are in. You can hope for a better situation, or you can determine that situation by changing your thoughts and changing your words. Make them positive. I hope you all have enjoyed the show for today. All of you take care. And please go to my website, www.nancys psychicresources.com, and get that letter off of there and try it. You will be amazed how much it will help you. And now as we close for today, I want you all to remember to change the negative words, negative thoughts, positive words, positive thoughts. What am I going to do with all the excess money that I now have? May God bless all of you. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Take my advice.